We are in the book of Acts in the New Testament, in chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Hear now God's word. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise from the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Wow. It's a beautiful morning, amen?
Amen.
This morning we were texting our staff. We have a staff chat and we were texting, and Abram, he's gifted at a lot of things. One thing he's gifted at is he creates memes. And he had this meme of a guy in his 80s in a parka. And he wrote, in 20 years I'm going to be... In the meme, it said, remember the outdoor service of 24. And it's because it was like 40 degrees this morning when we woke up. And then I was reminded, Carla sent a screenshot of a picture of an outdoor service. You guys remember 2020 when we were worshiping? How many of you were out there Sunday after Sunday outside? Okay, not that many of you, but one Sunday, it was almost 4 years ago to the day, it poured. Yes. Yeah. You guys remember, okay? And they're all 20 of you who were there, remember? And it was a very memorable service. So we don't have that this morning, though.
Amen.
That's pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
Let's give God the glory. And I want you to clap because... Well, we need practice clapping during that amazing choir anthem where, like, how could you not clap? Larry Reed started us clapping, and there were, like, 8 of us clapping. Not very well. So we'll work on it. But thank you for those who participated. This is a very special Sunday. It's our Live the Mission Sunday, and what that means is that we all are called into the mission of God to live in such a way that we are thinking about other people and how we can shine the light and the love of Jesus in the world. And we have all kinds of ways for you to participate in that. Have you heard of the Pareto principle? Does anybody raise your hand if you know what that is? It's the 80-20 that 20% of the people end up doing 80% of the work. Do you think that exists here? It does. It does. And so we want to close the gap on that. What we're actually wanting is the 100-100 principle, that 100% of the people get engaged in 100% of the work. In one way or another. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do 100% of what's out there, but it does mean that you have to do something. You have to get engaged in something, in serving in some way, shape, or form. And we have all these ministry partners who are doing amazing things that we're so grateful to be a part of. In fact, I don't know if you were there a month ago or so, I shared a picture of Hope for Renewal, this church plant in Eudora in Youngstown, tough neighborhood in Youngstown. And Alex Lowry did an amazing job helping to get a deck built. And then there were baptisms. There were multiple baptisms on this deck the next worship service. And Gary and Cindy are here with us. You want to wave to everybody? So praise the Lord for the work they're doing. And that's just one example of, there are a dozen or so ministry partners that are doing incredible work in our city and in our world. And so the point of this morning is for you to understand that you have gifts that you need to use and share in the world, because you're called and commanded to do that. And we have this very simple vision as a church, and it's three words. Okay, does anybody know what those three words are that summarize our vision? Yes, I heard somebody say it. It's up, in, out. Can we say that together? One, two, three.
Up, in, out.
Just to summarize, up, we look up to God. We want a God-centered church. That seems self-evident, but so many churches set up all of what they do for people and to get as many people in the door as possible to make it, you know, comfortable for people. We want people to feel comfortable when they come here. We want everybody to feel loved, but we want everybody to know that we're here for the living God. We're here to worship Him and to orient our lives around Him, not somehow make it so that He just wants us to be happy, you know? So we look up to God. We look at His Word to understand how we are supposed to look up. In, that means that we want deep relationships with each other, so that if you're here in this this part of the world for a long time, you have lifelong friends who have your back and you have theirs. And when you go through tough times, they're beating on the door to come and pray with you and care for you, and vice versa. That's in. Out means that all that we learn and all that we're doing as a community is intended for the purpose of going out into the world to make an impact in the world. Out, to go out into the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so this morning's text is about the very first kind of commissioning of the followers of Jesus. It's a very important shift when these guys who are listening to Jesus, they go from being disciples, and disciple means learner, to apostles. You know what apostle means?
Sent.
Sent, exactly. Sent out into the world. And so we are going to look at how we are sent into the world to live God's mission. And I want to be honest, it's sacrificial to do that. You sacrifice your time, you sacrifice money, you sacrifice inconvenience. So there is a cost, but it's nice that the cost isn't as high as losing your life, isn't it? We happen to live in a part of the world where we aren't called to lay down our lives and die for the gospel. That's great. Praise God for that. But we are called to sacrifice. It is a cost. But remember, 1 John 5:3, Jesus' commands are not burdensome. They're for our joy. And if we are willing to live the mission, it will be an adventure, a joyful adventure. It'll cost. It'll be sacrificial. But it will be, it will not be burdensome, because it's joyful ultimately. So let's pray and we'll take a look at this text. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the gift of a beautiful day. And Lord, we pray that through this time we would have great fellowship, that our new members and new people who are here would meet people who they can become friends with and be encouraged in their faith. And Lord, even more, pray that you would bless our time after the worship service. I pray that many people would sign up to try some ministry, whether it's inside or outside the church, preferably both, but I pray that that would happen, and that you would get the glory, and that you would, even today, begin just amazing new chapters in people's lives as they heed the call to live the mission and to go out into the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So a little bit of background. The book of Acts in the New Testament is the story of the early church. It's how the church is born and then comes to be this dominant force in the world, where just transforming people's lives and people's eternities. And Jesus has been resurrected in Acts chapter 1. And it says that while staying with them in verse 4, And staying with them is also the word for eating with someone, like having a meal together with someone. And these both meanings of the word are entirely appropriate because Jesus has been hanging out with his disciples. He has demonstrated he has the power over even death and Satan and hell. And he's hanging out with his disciples. He's been stern, strong. He's also been playful. He's restored the stubborn, like Thomas, who wouldn't believe unless he, you know, felt Jesus' wounds. And he's also restored the sinful, like Peter, who denied Jesus three different times. He has even, in his glorified, resurrected state, served the disciples. He's made them breakfast at one point. And he's got this final calling for them, this command, their marching orders. And he's given something similar already at the end of Matthew's gospel. Do you know what comes at the end of Matthew's gospel?
Great Commission.
That's right, the Great Commission. I love the participation. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. The Great Commission, where Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." Look at what Jesus says in this text, and you will find something very similar. Repetition is the key to learning. And these disciples, like us, they need to be taught over and over again. And so what Acts chapter 1 says and what Matthew 28 says, they go hand in hand. And these are Jesus' final words. And so what I want to look at three different things, three different points briefly, and they're in your notes, okay? So what we don't know, number one, number two, what we do know, and number three, what we do with what we don't and do know. Okay? Those three things. The first point, what we don't know. I want you to notice in the text that the disciples want to know much more than they're given. Okay? Does that sound familiar to you? Yeah, I mean, we all are like that. Notice it says that in verse 4, Jesus tells them, don't depart, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you are really good at waiting on the Lord. You love to wait. Just give me more waiting. You know, when you're in a hurry to get from point A to point B, you got an important meeting, and then all of a sudden there's a half hour of traffic, which is like the worst in Columbus, Ohio. You know, it never gets worse than that. Half hour. How many of you are like, oh, I can relax, because I know God's sovereign, and I know I'll get there when I get there, and all is well. There's nobody like that. We don't like to wait. Some of you are seniors in high school. You can't wait to figure out what you're doing next year, and you can't wait. Some of you are maybe 15 and a half or close to 16, and you can't wait to drive. And you know, we do this all throughout life, don't we? We can't wait for the next thing. Well, Jesus tells them to wait, and he doesn't tell them when it's going to happen. And then notice in verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is a question they've been asking over and over again in the Gospels. Jesus, you're a Messiah. That means you're gonna kick out the Romans and be a king, and we're going to be your top lieutenants, and you know, it's going to be great, like King David back in his day. And here, Jesus has risen. He's demonstrated that his mission is not that yet. And so, wait, maybe now's the time. They're ready again. And what does Jesus say? It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. There are things that they are just not going to know. And then at the end of this passage, it says, you know, the angels show up. Why do you stand looking in the heavens? It's Jesus who's taken up from you. He will come in the same way. Well, when is he going to come? You don't get to know. You don't get to know. There are all kinds of things that we do not know. And I want you to note the unpredictable nature of walking with Jesus. You just never, it's like a box of chocolates. Just never know what you're going to get. Okay? That was not in the gospel. That was Forrest Gump. That wasn't in the gospels. You don't know what's coming. They knew some things, but there's a lot they didn't know, and we don't know either. The plan is not entirely clear for our lives. That's what it's like to live by faith. I think that's why we don't understand what, you know, every detail that's coming. So we can live by faith. I know that I want to know more. I would love to be able to control everything. I wake up at night sometimes, and I can't go back to sleep because my motor is running, and I have all these things that I want to get done, or these different things that I'm worried about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you have a hard time sleeping at night sometimes. And most of you who raised your hands are, you know, more mature, like me. Maybe that's a feature of this stage in our lives. But I think part of it is, for me, I want to control, I want to know. And often God just says, you don't need to know. Just relax. Go back to sleep. I'm the one who's running things. We do not need to know, and perhaps we need to repent of the desire to know everything and control everything. The details are opaque. They always will be. The disciples did not know everything that was coming in every single detail. But what we do know is more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the second point, okay? So what they did not know, what we do not know, is a lot. We don't know the future. We don't know the details. But what we do know of the future is more than enough. And it's substantial. Jesus was resurrected. And he gives them four things that they do know just from this passage. First, look in verse 5. He says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They don't know exactly when. They know they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
It means to be born again.
Yes.
When you are a Christian, God's Spirit baptizes you and enters into you and lives inside you. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead,
amen,
is the power that you and I have as followers of Jesus. And if you're not a Christian and you're here with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you will become a Christian even this morning by repenting of your sins, just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, for my sins, and trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how you become a Christian. That's what the gospel is. It's repenting of sins and trusting in Jesus. There's four bikers going by right now. So that's the gospel. And if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you know that. And the Holy Spirit is a deposit that guarantees your future, guarantees the bright future that you have in front of you eternally. So we actually know that we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you know that you have power within you by the power of the Spirit? You have the power to resist sin now. Before, that's what you did. You sinned because that's your nature. Now you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you can resist sin, not perfectly, but increasingly. You have the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Once you were bitter and angry and you couldn't let go of the wrongs that have been done to you, now what do you have within you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. That's incredible power. Amen?
Amen.
Once you were lost, and yet now you have the power of going out into the world and being part of what God is doing, the greatest miracle of all, and that is turning dead people alive in Christ by sharing the light and the love of Jesus. You have power. That's what you know. Number 3, verse 9. Here's what we know. This is what the disciples saw firsthand. When he said these things, Jesus, they were looking on, he was lifted up, a cloud took him out of their sight. Do you know what this is? This is the ascension of Jesus into heaven. It is an absolutely powerful thing to know that Jesus ascended into heaven. Why? Because if we know that Jesus ascended into heaven, we know that he has taken his place at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that he has now entered into this ministry as our high priest, as our mediator, Like, he's the one who ensures that the Father will accept us as sons and daughters. He is, he's also, it confirms that he is preparing a place for us. He's getting that place ready right now for you and me. We don't have to be afraid of death because we're going to go be with him.
Amen.
And that's amazing to know. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Jesus ascended into heaven. Here's the fourth and final thing that I will talk about that we know just from this passage. Jesus will return. He's coming back.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
The two disciples, or the two angels, who are there as they're looking up at Jesus into the sky. Imagine being there. Look up in the sky with me. There goes Jesus. Imagine it. And a cloud takes him away. And then all of a sudden, here's two dudes dressed in robes. They're like, what are you looking at? It's time to get to it. He's coming back.
Yes.
The promise that Jesus is coming back is the promise that all of the injustices, the tragedies, and the terrible things in the world will all coalesce into a beautiful, sovereign, glorious future.
Amen.
And that we don't understand that. We don't get to see how that works yet, but we will. We know that every tear is going to be wiped away for those who love him. We know every knee will bow, that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Those four things. Those are good to know, amen?
Amen.
We don't need to know all the details, and I'm preaching to myself right now. We don't need to know all the details if we know those four things. Beyond that, we know much more. We know that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We know that if God is for us, who could be against us? We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Great things to know. We know enough. And so with that, final point, what we do with what we don't and do know. Okay, look in verse 8 with me. Okay, I wanna say this out loud. Verse 8 together. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Ready? Let's go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is great news.
Amen.
I want you to notice, and I'm going to emphasize the sentence a little bit differently. You will be my witnesses, Jesus says. You will be my witnesses. It's going to happen. And you are going to do it. This is not something that the pastor does or the elders do. This is something that every Christian does and is called to do. You will be my witnesses.
Yes.
The Greek word for witness is martus, which we get the word martyr from it, because who are the greatest witnesses but those who laid down their lives for the Christian faith?
Yes.
Again, thankfully, you and I don't have to do that.
Yes.
In our time and place. God has protected us from that. But we can be witnesses of the love and light of Christ by going out, into the world. And there's a geography. Notice the geography of this witness. It's threefold. And back to our vision, this is the verse we use for our vision of out, okay? It's concentric circles. So the first concentric circle, the one closest to the very center, which, you know, is you and God's heart for you to go out, is Jerusalem and Judea. Where were they? In Jerusalem. This is the place where they are, okay? Their immediate home. You have an immediate context, immediate place where you live. And there are people who are right around you in your school, in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, all on your team, all around you. And God calls you to that Jerusalem and Judea to be a presence of the love and light of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So do you pray for your neighborhood? Do you pray for your classmates? Do you look for opportunities to point them to Jesus, to invite them to come to the things that will introduce them to Jesus, like church or Young Life or Reset or whatever it might be? You have the power to, the Holy Spirit in you, that God will use. if you are willing to go. And our church, we want our church to be an amazing presence of, we want everybody who comes here to feel welcome, no matter what their past is, no matter what their present is, they are welcome to come here. Amen. Never, if you ever hear otherwise, remember, it's not true. We welcome everybody and anybody through these doors, and we want them to be embraced with the love of Jesus. And we want them to hear the gospel. Yes. The gospel that cuts to the core of all of us and calls us to repent. Okay? We want to be a welcoming presence here. Are you inviting people here? It looks like you are. I mean, we had a bunch of new members here, so keep doing it. But that's not it. It's not just inviting people to church. You have a calling into the world to pray for and then reach out to the people around you with the love of Jesus. Amen. Next is Samaria. That's the next concentric circle. And that's the place for the apostles who were sent out. It's a place of relative discomfort. Because Samaritans and Jews were a little bit different from each other, and they were called to go directly there. You have a place that is a little bit uncomfortable for you to minister in. Now, that might be within the walls of the church in children's ministry, okay? You might not want to do that. And maybe we don't want you to teach the kids. Maybe that's not your gift. But you could check people in over here. You could actually prepare materials that the teachers use every Sunday. And we need people to do that. You may feel uncomfortable being in the AV booth, okay? But we need people who are willing to serve in there. Right now, we have just a few volunteers, and we need a lot more. And you can walk through the narthex and find that place and just say, I'll give it a try. Now, is it going to work? Are you going to be good at it? I don't know. But you can try it. Try it. We have amazing, there are amazing things that God is doing right now in our ministry in Linden, in the high school, Linden McKinley High School, through Reset, through 2819. And we need people to serve. Are you willing to try it? Like, just to try it. It might not feel comfortable for you. Give it a shot. We don't know if it's going to work out. It might be a disaster for you, but probably not. And what's the worst that can happen? Don't answer that question. I mean, maybe. But it won't be that bad. Just try it. Because we need people. We need people to serve. And you've been given gifts. And you're called to serve. Go to a place. Go. I hope every single one of our ministry partners and every single one of our ministry leaders within the church is inundated by you all. Going out and please talk to everybody here. Thank them for what they're doing. And sign up for a couple things. And finally, to the ends of the earth. That's the largest concentric circle. Now, for us as a church, there's two ends of the earth places. One is Ometepec, Mexico. And the other is Uganda, Kenya. And we partner with a ministry called Sports Outreach. In October the 13th, Robert Katende, who is the international leader of Sports Outreach, is going to be at our church. And so praise God for that. Now maybe you're called to go to Ometepec in March next year, 2025. Maybe you are. Maybe you're called to go to Uganda in a couple years when we go back. Is it going to work out? I don't know. You know, maybe you'll get to the airport coming back from Ometepec and find out that the airline you were supposed to fly on went out of business. It may happen. But that makes for a good story on the way back. And I've got one. If you want to know, I'll tell you afterwards. It could be that you go and you get sick. That's happened. But, you know, it's okay. We lived. And if you don't live, well, you get to go to the place that Jesus has prepared for you. So my point is that you have to go. You got to try. And if you don't try, you're not being faithful to what God is calling you to do. So you are going to get a sheet that looks like this, except yours is going to be in color. And it's got little check boxes for all of our internal and external ministries. Please go and talk to folks. Like, it might be that your calling is to host middle and high school kids through a Christian ministry called Young Life in your home. Maybe you hate having people in your home, but try it, because it might loosen you up so that you don't have to have every dust particle removed from the carpet in order to host people. That might be amazing if you were a little bit more laid back about that. And I don't know what God's calling you to. I do know that we have a plethora, a bevy, a grip of opportunities for you to come and serve. I'll close with this. As a church, this year, in 2020, like year from a year ago to today, we as a church have grown in worship attendance by 38%. Woo-hoo. And I was talking to, praise the Lord for that. I was talking to a guy named Bob Stauffer, who is our denomination, EPC, Evangelical Presbyterian Church, 650 churches or so. He's the leader, the national leader of church health. And so talking with him about, you know, how things are going and what we should do. And he said that the churches that two-thirds of all churches, 65% of all churches in the EPC have less than 100 people in weekly worship attendance. Okay, two-thirds. And that is reflective of the entire country. That's the average church size. We are approaching about 500, about 5% of EPC churches are 500 in weekly attendance and above. He said that if you grow by 10% in a given year, you are in the top 1% of all churches in the country. And, you know, when I was talking to him about us, he said, I don't know of another church that's experiencing that kind of growth. That doesn't mean there isn't another church. He just isn't aware of it. And, I mean, I praise God for that.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you this. The purpose of that growth is not so that we can feel good about ourselves, that we have more people here. That's not it. The purpose is for us to go. It's for you all who are newer to know that you have gifts that this church needs and that this world needs, and to use those gifts to shine the light and love of Christ. And it's for those who have been here for a long time who perhaps, you know, haven't been serving, to remember that this is not a place for consumers, it's a place for participants.
Amen.
It's a place for people who are committed to trying things, who don't know a lot of things about what's going to happen, how's it going to work, are people going to listen, are people going to hate me? No, don't care about all that. No, we know we're called to go, and then to go. Brothers and sisters, can we live the mission together?
Amen.
Yes.
Can we live the mission together?
Yes. Yes.
Can we all decide that we are going to do something to carry out the mission of God in our world with these amazing ministry partners internally? Can we decide that we're going to do that? Because as we go, God blesses the world, and He doesn't just bless the world, He blesses you and me.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, and Lord, would you send your Spirit to just press upon us the calling that you have in our lives to go out and to live whatever mission you call us to just be a tiny little part of the mission that you have for your church. That against which the gates of hell will not prevail. You are advancing the mission of Jesus. May we have the courage and sacrifice what we need to sacrifice to make time to be part, just a small part of that mission. Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for their heart for ministry and mission. I thank you for the many, many folks who are already deeply engaged in the mission. May that continue. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide us in what you would like us to try, and then help us to trust you with the results. The results are not up to us, but we can we can go and we can live in the way you call us to. So pray that we would all do that. And Lord, silently we lift up to you the concerns on our hearts, and also we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, about where we might serve. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us, and we pray now according to how Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever. Amen. If you would lift up your hands, receive this benediction blessing. Go from this place knowing that Jesus loves you and he has a mission for you. He wants you to go out into the world and serve and love him and honor him for the sake of other people and for the sake of his glory. So go and do that. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Amen.